Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. People in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto Him who acts as eternal time. Purport. People in general are all engaged in senseless work. They are systematically unmindful of the real beneficial work, which is the devotional service of the Lord, technically called the Archana regulations. The Archana regulations are directly instructed by the Lord in the Narada Pancharatra and are strictly followed by the intelligent men, who know well that the highest perfectional goal of life is to reach Lord Vishnu, who is the root of the tree called the cosmic manifestation. Also in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, such regulative activities are clearly mentioned. Foolish people do not know that their self-interest is in realization of Vishnu. The Bhagavatam, 7th canto of chapter 5, text 30 to 32 says, Matirna Krishna Parata Svatova Mito Padyeta Griha Vratanam Adanta Govir Vishatam Tamishram Punah Punaschar Vitacharnanam Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu durashaya ye bahir artha manina andaya tandai rupaniya manas te pisha pantra urama naisham matista vaduru kramangrim sprishatan. Jo vishekam nishkinchananam navirtayavat. Persons who are determined to totally rot in false material happiness cannot become Krishna-minded even by instructions from teachers, by self-realization, or by parliamentary discussions. They are dragged by the unbridled senses into the darkest region of ignorance, and thus they madly engage in what is called chewing the chewed. Because of these foolish activities, they are unaware that the ultimate goal of human life is to achieve Vishnu, the Lord of the cosmic manifestation, and so their struggle for existence is in the wrong direction of material civilization, which is under the external energy. They are led by similar foolish persons, just as one blind man is led by another blind man, and both fall in the ditch. Such foolish men cannot be attracted towards the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities, unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely freed from material attachment. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asks everyone to give up all other occupational duties and absolutely engage in archana activities or in pleasing the Lord. But almost no one is attracted to such archana activity. Everyone is more or less attracted by activities which are conditions of rebellion against the Supreme Lord. The system of jnana and yoga are also indirectly rebellious acts against the Lord. There is no auspicious activity except archana of the Lord. Jnana and yoga are sometimes accepted within the purview of archana when the ultimate aim is Vishnu, and not otherwise. The conclusion is that only the devotee of the Lord are bona fide human beings eligible for salvation. Others are vainly struggling for existence without any actual benefit. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam jena bhutale svayam rupakaramayam dadati svaparantikam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri gurun vaishnavamscha shri rupam sagarjatam sahagana raghunatham vitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam karati vachalam pangam langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurun dinatarinam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanyeshwaram. Hare Krishna. I'd like the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I may speak some words for my own purification. So this Lord Brahma's prayers, he's talking about in this verse that loko vikarma nirata kushale pramatta, that people in general are absorbed in activities which are not connected to Krishna. As long as one's activities are not connected to Krishna, then it is like wasting time. Everyone's trying to work against scriptures, what the Lord has given. And why do they do that? Because they're pramatta. Pramatta means they are very madly attached to hopes. They have great expectations that if they perform, if they do something, they'll get a good outcome, which will be beneficial for them. But anything the main thing is that nothing happens without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No matter what we may desire, but ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in control. And Prabhupada comments or he quotes this verses from the seventh canto, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking about those entangled in vikarma, activities that are not beneficial or are not very fulfilling spiritually, are actually chewing the chewed, doing the same thing repeatedly day and night. We see how people struggle to meet their daily needs. They travel hours and hours away to go to job, and they come back late, coming back from job, and then they will cook something, and then they will eat, and they'll do some kind of sense enjoyment watch a movie or do something. And then again, the same thing, they will continue the next day. It all continues. There is no excitement. The only excitement they have is like, maybe if they save some money, then end of the week, they might go some to the bar with their friends or enjoy some sense gratification. But again, the same thing, chewing the chewed, which is not beneficial. So that's why Srila Prabhupada here in this verse explains that our Lord Brahma is saying, Karmani ayam tvad udite bhavad archane sve. That he says that the real beneficial work is devotional service which the Lord Himself has enunciated. The Lord has Himself explained the process of performing devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, we hear that the Lord, whenever He's speaking about the three modes of material nature, and He's explaining the different things, different activities that you do in different modes of nature, you get that kind of in return. Yeah, that's what you get. If you do charity in the mode of ignorance, then the benefit that you'll get is also in the mode of ignorance. But then at the end, everything Krishna says is that, but unless and until you do it for me, if you do it for me, you shall get the right benefit, which is we want to understand our relationship with Krishna. Yeah, that is our goal in life, that we want to understand our relationship with Krishna, and we always say we want to go back home, back to Godhead. What do we want to go back home, back to Godhead for? To establish our relationship with Krishna. So Krishna facilitates, He creates this material world, and He makes everything look very fancy. Everything is very fancy. Fancy cars, fancy phones, fancy this, fancy that. He creates all these things, but He also, because we want to separately enjoy from Him, we don't want to enjoy with Krishna, so He arranges for us, makes this material world, and everything looks very nice, and we feel that we are actually using our independence to enjoy, but then that enjoyment comes with consequences. It comes with consequences. We enjoy separately from Krishna, then we get we have to pay for the reactions. That's the law of karma. But if we do, keeping Krishna in the center, whatever activities we do, then it is much easier. It comes with less reactions. Like we hear about Krishna magic, how that sometimes those devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord, they experience different kind of Krishna magics. We are meant to suffer terribly, or we've gotten to devotees have gotten into accidents or something, but even after being in such severe accidents, not even a scratch, you know, or very where they are supposed to have lost their lives, they have just maybe broken their finger or something. So like this, Krishna minimizes the reactions if we do it according to his, and he's given these instructions in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto, where the Lord himself is giving instructions to Uddhava on different aspects of devotional service. He gives also different aspects of worship. And worship just doesn't mean that worshipping doesn't only mean that unless you're on the altar, you're not worshipping. But anyone engaged in any kind of service to Krishna is as good as worshipping the Lord on the altar. So even if while we are participating in the aarti, we are dancing, we are singing, this is also part of worship. Chanting the holy names, when we are chanting the holy names of the Lord, we are engaging in worshipping the Lord. In the what form? Worshipping him in the form of his holy names. So like this, we engage in different aspects of worship. So then Brahma says, Yattavad asya balavan iha jivitasam. Tasam says that as long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans is in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. That this people in general who are attached to this kind of activities, who do not take the process of performing devotional service, then this is what happens to them, that their tendency for foolish work remains powerful. They want to work harder in fulfilling gratifying their senses, other than to actually try to achieve spiritual advancement or spiritual fulfillment. And then Brahma concludes this verse by saying, Sadyas chinatya animishaya namostu tasmai, that the eternal time factor ultimately destroys all material aspiration. This is the consequence of not accepting the path of devotional service. What happens is that ultimately all our material aspirations will be destroyed. So like this, Srila Prabhupada has mentioned a very important point at the end, where he says that jnana and yoga are sometimes accepted within the purview of archana when the ultimate aim is Vishnu and not otherwise. The conclusion is that only the devotees of the Lord are bona fide human beings eligible for salvation. Others are vainly struggling for existence without any actual benefit. So devotees are who have this understanding are the only ones who can achieve, are eligible for this salvation. So we see that that surrender to Vishnu through archana or through devotional service removes anarthas, clears our anarthas. And what is the first stage of devotional service? Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. There was a quotation that Prabhupada says this in a lecture in New Vrindavan. These are the 9 different processes of bhakti yoga. The first thing is Shravanam. If we simply keep the deity here, we may see. But if we don't hear about him, then it will be hackneyed. Just like in India it has become, because they have given up the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. Unless we do not hear about Krishna, we can be coming to see him every single day, but we will not realize who he actually is. So Shravanam is very important. And then Prabhupada also mentions in the verse that association with the devotees is the only way to develop attachment to devotional service. Until we do not develop attachment to associating with devotees and serving the devotees, then we shall not get attachment to developing attachment for devotional service. And with that, I would like to speak a little bit about Lord Shiva. Today is Shivaratri. Lord Shiva is Nimnaganam Yatha Ganga, Devanam Achuto Yatha, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, Puranam Idam Tatha. So, just like Ganga is the purest of all rivers, and Achyuta, the Lord Achyuta, not you, Lord Achyuta, is greater of all the demigods or. And Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, Lord Shiva is the greatest amongst all devotees. Like that, the Srimad Bhagavatam is greatest amongst all scriptures. Lord Shiva is very difficult to understand, Lord Shiva, Shiva Tattva. But Lord Shiva is very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore we see that Lord Shiva appears in all the dhams residing as the guardian or Kshetrapal of the different dhams. In Vrindavan, we see that Lord Shiva is there as Gopeshwar Mahadev. When we go to Sri Vrindavan Dham, we visit Gopeshwar Mahadev to get his blessings, to actually seek permission to stay in the Dham. Similarly, when we go to Mayapur, we have Lord Shiva who appears there as Vridha Shiva, and Parvati Devi appears there as Prodamaya, Yogamaya. And we see that there are actually lots of a few pastimes of Lord Shiva in Sridhar Mayapur. So in Simantadvip, in Satya Yuga, Lord Shiva was meditating on the Lord, and suddenly he started chanting Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. He started chanting and dancing in ecstasy, in great ecstasy. And he was meditating on Lord Gauranga, and Parvati Devi asked, "Who are you? Who is this Gauranga? Why you suddenly started chanting this name?" And he said that Lord Chaitanya would be born, he would take birth in Sri Dham Mayapur, and she wanted to also relish that ecstasy that Lord Shiva was nourishing by chanting the names of Lord Gauranga. So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Shiva asked her to remain in Simantadvip and meditate on Lord Chaitanya, and ultimately she would be able to get the darshan of Lord Chaitanya. And ultimately she got the darshan of Lord Chaitanya and took the dust from his lotus feet and applied it on her simanta, on her forehead. And that is known, that's how the place or that island became to be known as Simantadvip. There is also Rudradvip, where Lord Shiva, he stays there. Rudradvip, he's there as the 11 Rudras, and he appears there. He stays there. So there was once when Vishnu Swami, the Acharya of Rudra Sampradaya, he visited Rudradvip. And when he visited Rudradvip, he was amongst other sages. They were discussing about devotional service. At that time, Lord Shiva appeared in Rudradvip. He appeared there. He's always there, but he appeared in his form as Lord Shiva, being very pleased with Vishnu Swami. And he asked him for a benediction that he could preach the glories of the Supreme Lord. And Lord Shiva, being very pleased, he blessed him by saying that by being under Rudra Sampradaya. This is where the Rudra Sampradaya started. that Vishnu Swami, he is the Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya. Lord Shiva asked him to become Acharya of the Rudra Sampradaya, and he later took Vishnu Swami came as Vallabha Bhatta, and he associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is there. Also, there is where the Lord there is Harihara Kshetra, where the Lord appears half Lord Shiva and half Lord Vishnu. And then there is also very special place which is in Madhya Dwip, which is known as Hamsavahana. The great sages, Sutta Goswami, they were all discussing the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Madhya Dwip. And at that time, when Lord Shiva heard that this discussion was going on, he started traveling with his bull. And while traveling with his bull, the bull was really, really slow. So he borrowed Lord Brahma's swan, and he got into the swan with all eagerness, flew right from Brahmaloka straight to Madhya Dwip in Navadvip, center of Navadvip, and he eagerly wanted to hear Bhagavatam, the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like that, Lord Shiva is very much attached to the Supreme Lord. And on this auspicious day, we should pray to him that we may get the eagerness to understand who actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, and to get his mercy. So I'd like to conclude here. If there is any comments. Yes, Prabhu. Damodar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Ram Rup, thank you for the class. My question is about, you mentioned about the nine...
I asked for a comment.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, Prabhu.
The nine different processes of devotional service. And I just wondering, how do we differentiate between the difference between Padasevanam and Dasyam?
Dasyam and Padasevanam. Yeah. They're actually very, very similar. One is, Padasevanam means literally trying to massage the lotus feet of the Lord, to serve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And Dasyam is other kind of services in the mood of servitorship. Might be fanning the Lord or doing any other kind of service. That's my understanding. Lakshmi Devi, Rupa Goswami says, Lakshmi Devi, by massaging the lotus feet of the Lord, Pada Sevanam, she achieved. And Hanuman, the greatest servitor, he achieved by offering other services. Maybe Premarnava Prabhu, you would like to add something on that? Or Ananta Achyuta Prabhu? Or Pandit? Or anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. You all are very tolerant. Hare Krishna. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande.